Listen, he's in the mood to take your calls. He wants to talk gardening, so his wish is my command. This is what you need to do. If you have a gardening question, don't put it off. Don't procrastinate. Go now to the phone, 866-391-1020. Wall-to-wall phone calls with Doug Oster, DougOster.com. But we always begin by giving you an opportunity for a real treat, a $25 gift certificate from the Sorgel family at Sorgel's off the Wexford exit. And you got to be the 10th caller. So Ryan's going to start answering those calls right after I say 412-922-1020. 10th caller wins it. Now, as we await your phone calls to talk gardening, here he is with a lot to get to, digging in the dirt, Mr. Doug Oster. Doug.
Good morning, and I had quite a fun event yesterday. I had a pop-up plant giveaway, I called it, and a friend of mine, Dan Bowles, had extra Sun Gold and Super Sweet 100 tomato plants. Again, he had more of them, and those come to fruition really quickly. And so I said, well, I'll give them away. And I posted on my Facebook page and people went nuts. They, oh, we want one, one. So I was like, oh man, I only have about 15 tomato plants. So a couple other places got me a flat of this, a flat of that. And so we all met at a local watering hole, Hal's Bottle Shop. And some people had water, some people had other things, and we just sat and talked about gardening and gave away plants. People brought plants, some Shasta daisies and zucchinis, and it was just fun. It was just fun to talk gardening. And I love this time of the year to go to the nurseries. You know, you get a decent day, although, boy, I need some rain. I heard that Mount Lebanon on July 4th got like a good rain. I didn't get anything. But I love going to the nurseries this time of year because it's bargain time. And I bought $5 hanging baskets, and I took them out, took the petunias out of the hanging basket and put them in another container and some into a bigger hanging basket. I bought some really cheap petunias, used them to plug in some holes in containers, and always looking for plants that need a little TLC and getting them cheap. I've been to the nursery just about every other day. I'll get a little bit of stuff and I'll plant it. And then I'll go back, and I still have some things that I can fill up. And I mentioned this last week, and I'm surprised they're still there, but Han has this Mexican sunflower called Goldfinger, and they just brought it in. It gets 3 to 4 feet tall. It is a pollinator magnet, and the Mexican sunflower just needs nothing from the gardener, and it's a beautiful plant and easy, and I got a couple more of them. They got like two or three plants in each pot, so I'm splitting them up and I'm using them in the centers of some containers and in other areas in the garden. Put some in the garden itself, and I love Mexican sunflower. I didn't get my Mexican sunflowers started from seed, and I was just so excited to see a Mexican sunflower, and they just brought them in, so they're fresh and new and look good. And as I said, boy, I am hoping for rain. I think today is going to have to be a watering day. And when I water, the best time to do it, if I can do it this way, is early in the morning. So I think after the show, when I get home, I'll do my watering. And I talk about this all the time, but it's about soaking the plants in, soaking them at the base. And so I've got plenty of garden jobs to do. Probably take the dogs out into the garden, sit the hose underneath each tomato for 10 minutes or so, and then I'll do some fertilizing too. This fertilizer, and they advertise on the show, but they don't give me the fertilizer. I love this stuff. It's called Dramatic, and it's with two M's from the Dram Company. Again, they've got it at Hahn. They've got it down at Chapin's if you're in the South. And you water your containers with this stuff, and it's fish-based. It just makes stuff grow. It makes stuff look good. I had a friend that there, you know, this was a few weeks ago, and I saw his garden, and he's like, you know, tomato plants, and they're just not green as they should be. And I said, get this stuff, and texted me 4 days later. He's like, oh, that helped. And so watering in the morning, soaking those plants in, getting them ready for the day, and then adding mulch. I'm adding straw in the vegetable garden, just freshen it up, get it a little thicker. Again, that keeps the soil evenly moist. I've heard already some people are having blossom end rot. And so blossom end rot is a calcium deficiency, but it's because there's not enough water in the plant. If you're growing tomatoes in containers and it's a full-size tomato, or especially a sauce tomato is prone to it, you might get blossom end rot if you don't keep that soil evenly moist. And that's going to be one of the things I'm doing today, because I do have a few tomatoes, and peppers can get it too. Do have some peppers that most of my peppers, actually all of my peppers, are in containers, and I'm still planting peppers. Again, I was at Han yesterday, had the peppers in 4-inch pots for $1, and I'm putting hot peppers in. There's plenty of time to put hot peppers in, and they've got all the way till October to ripen up. Still time to plant bush beans from seed, Swiss chard from seed, arugula. You know, if you put kale seeds in now, you're going to have kale all the way through Christmas. Beets and other root crops, all sorts of stuff. And again, it's all on sale. And so I'm also seeing a little bit of Septoria leaf spot and early blight on tomatoes. And how that happens is that during that cool spring, we've got that, you know, below 50 degrees rain, those spores are always in the soil. They're always there, and they splash up on the bottom of the plant. And when those leaves stay wet for longer than 24 hours, the disease gets into the plant, and it doesn't start to manifest itself until now. And we start to see the bottom of the leaves turn brownish with yellow, and they work their way up the plant. Remove that infected foliage, treat with an organic fungicide, and the one that I like is called Revitalize from Bonide. It's a biological control. It can't hurt us. It can't hurt the good bugs, and it takes care of the fungal issues. Now, in any fungal issue, the best time to get it is before you see it, but in tomatoes, they don't always get it. The other thing about giving those tomatoes away this time of the year, this is the very end of the window of planting for tomatoes, but when you put them in this late in the season and it's so warm and you don't have that cool rain, they don't get the fungal issues. You know, they'll from now until the end of the season, these tomato plants will have the same weather, but the ones that were exposed to that, you know, cool 50 degree weather at the end of the season will have, you know, Septoria leaf spot and early blight, and it'll defoliate the plant, but it doesn't kill the plant. And also another fungal issue I'm seeing is black spot on roses. And it's the same thing. It defoliates the plant, but it does not kill the plant. And if you know your rose is going to get black spot, treat it with that Revitalize before you see signs of damage.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. Your calls right now. Get on the line. Anything in the way of gardening, we'd love to hear from you. 866-391-1020. All right, Doug is here taking your calls. If you have a gardening question, get on the line and call us. 866-391-1020. First stop, South Fayette. Nancy, you're on KDKA.
Good morning. Hey, Doug, I live in a new house, and the builder put in fragrant sumac bushes that I hate, and I'm trying to get rid of them. They, as you I'm sure know, they have very tenacious roots.
Yes.
If any of the root gets left in there, will they come back?
Possibly. What is it that you hate about this plant, the smell?
Well, it was a good choice for the builder to put in because, assuming nobody wanted to garden, but I want a perennial garden there.
Well,
I don't like they're getting too big. They're also infested with some sort of scale insect, very badly infested.
Mm.
And there's probably 25 of these bushes, so they got to go.
Oh, man. I would start off by just cutting them to the ground and seeing if they do sprout back. If they do, you have to start doing some digging. But I would be tempted to keep cutting it down whenever it sprouts up, and then that should just be the end of it. 25, that's a lot. What are your ideas for the perennial garden, though? That sounds exciting.
Well, there's two what they called a boulder wall. We're on a corner that kind of slopes, so they put in these two giant walls. So I'm doing like a lot of tall stuff in the back to try to cover up the boulders. And then lower, I've got a row of Shasta daisies coming up, and coneflowers.
Yeah.
And
I was going to say, coneflower would be a good choice there.
Yeah, Yeah. So it just, you know, I'm one of those gardeners. I see it. I like it. I put it in. If it doesn't work, I move it to another spot.
Oh, good for you. That sounds awesome, except for the part of having cut down 25 shrubs.
I know. They're terrible.
That's a weird choice, too. A weird choice for someone to put in, you know.
Well, they put in those and the Liriope. Uh-huh. And I think it was because they knew they would be low maintenance, they would fill out, and
don't
nobody would
anything.
Ever have to touch it.
Right.
Except
well,
me.
Yeah, good luck.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right, let's talk to Don in Hampton for Doug Oster on KDK. Good morning, Don.
Good morning, Rob. Good morning, Doug. Love the show. Hey, one of my pepper plants, the leaves are at the center of them, they're curling, and then they've fallen off. I don't know if it's like a viral or of a fungus.
If you're seeing any discoloration at all, because they do have some, can have fungal issues. It's not usually the case, though. A lot of times leaf curl is heat stress, even though they love heat. Is the watering good?
Yeah, I've been giving them like 16 ounces of water every day.
All right, might be a little bit too much. You only have to water those peppers maybe twice a week, tops. And
okay.
So that might be the issue there. What kind of peppers are they? Do you know?
They're bell peppers.
Okay.
You know, there's other plants. You know, I've watered them the same way because I got like 24 pepper plants in there. There's like 4 of them that have just developed this.
That's interesting. Keep an eye on them because peppers in general love heat and love water. And so I'm just wondering if those areas there, they might be holding a little too much water. And that might be the wilting. Is there any discoloration on the plant before those leaves fall off, or is it just a...
No.
Okay.
No, they start curling.
Sounds more
curling
like a,
up.
Like a cultural issue and not a disease issue.
I'll send you a picture.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah, send me a picture and we can see what it looks like.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, keep these calls coming in. 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020. Wall-to-wall gardening questions till 8 o'clock. Let's say hi to Craig up there in the North Hills. Hey, Craig, you're on KDKA.
Oh, good. Got a couple things. We have a mock orange tree. It's about 12 foot tall.
Mm-hmm.
And we love the smell of it. We're thinking we'd like to try to, you know, make a cutting or do something and put it in another place, have a second or third one.
Okay. Well, that's possible. That's possible with mock orange. Let's talk a little bit about cuttings.
And that's what I wanted to know.
We talked a little bit about this last week. And so you look on that shrub, and at this point, it's probably going to be hardwood. So there's two different types of cuttings we take from shrubs. One is called hardwood. One is called softwood. If you could find the softwood, that's the new growth on the tips. And it's kind of kind of greenish, and it doesn't. It's soft, basically. It hasn't hardened up into that wooden stem, and so we take both these types of cuttings the same way. It's just the softwood is easier, and this is not going to be an easy thing. And another thing I'm going to suggest you do is after you listen to me, go online and look up a little bit about softwood, hardwood cuttings. And so basically what we're doing, if we could find that softwood, which is the green wood on the mock orange, but I think at this point in the season it's probably going to be hardwood, we take that cutting. You're going to have something called root tone. Get that from the nursery. And you dip the tip that you just cut into that root tone, and then you have to decide what kind of medium you want to root in. I use something called vermiculite. And it's I get it slightly moist. I put that cutting, and I'm going to take like 20 cuttings because you're probably only going to get 5 to root, especially your first time. You put it into that vermiculite. Now you got to cover the whole thing with clear plastic, but you got to keep it out of the sun. Otherwise, it'll burn them up. And so that plastic gives you the humidity that you need. You know, when they do this in a large scale operation, it's in a greenhouse, they're putting the cuttings in, and they have like a mister that goes off every so many minutes to keep that humidity high. Humidity is important for that to root. And then after a couple weeks, gently pull on one of those cuttings, and if it resists, it's rooted. And mock orange roots pretty easily. So this is a good one to start with. And I would take the cuttings like now, And then I would do them maybe in a week also. Just kind of mix it up a little bit so that you're not putting all your eggs in one basket. One of those two, you know, cuttings are probably going to root for you. And I don't mean just two. I mean like doing 10 today and then 10 in a couple days. You know what I mean? Just mix it up a little bit to give you a little bit of leeway there and see how it works. I think you'll be okay. I'd love to hear, too, how it goes. Once you start taking cuttings, you will keep taking cuttings because you'll want to make more of all sorts of other things. And, boy, if you could, I can't remember. I have mock orange, too, but I can't remember looking at them if they have any softwood left on them. Probably not, but you'll be able to do it. Get that. Say it again.
We just lost the last blossom last week. They say to something about to trim them back to do it after the last blossom.
Oh, okay. You might have then whatever that new growth is on there. That's the stuff to try and grab if you can. Take a close look at the branches, follow them all the way out to the tips, and that new growth, an inch or two of new growth, is what you would want to make it an easier cutting to take that, what we call the softwood cutting.
I've got two experiments we did. We put a bunch of old tea bags in a 64-ounce bottle with water. I let it get real dark, didn't do anything else with it. And I tried it on some of my zinnias. It seems like that seems to help them. I guess it's the acid in the thing. I didn't pour a lot. I put on a little bit with water, and every second or third day I'd add this strong tea mixture to it. It seemed like they're going,
if it works,
at least as good as the other ones. They didn't kill them. Then the other thing is I take Boost every day. And so I'm done drinking Boost. I fill it with water, and I put it on a couple of whatever chemicals are left in there. And it seems like it brings them up just a little bit. I did a control and another one, and the one that had the Boost seems to be springing up a little bit taller and faster.
Hmm. All right, Craig, thank you for the
call.
Very
interesting.
Let's get to a break. News coming up next. All right, what do you say we start off this half hour by asking for caller number 10 at 412-922-1020. Caller number 10 wins a $25 gift certificate to Janoski's. And don't forget, final big day of sales in that Arrowhead Winery. It will end today, July 7th. Get out there. They're going to be opening soon for this Sunday. And in the meantime, if you want to join Doug and talk about gardening, 866-391-1020. But the 10th caller wins that certificate to Janoski's at 412-922-1020. Anything before we go to the phones?
Just go to DougOster.com, and I've got a video, or lots of videos there, but my latest video is about a place called the Rodef Shalom Biblical Garden. I've been going around the area and making videos of different cool gardens that I enjoy, and the Biblical Garden is kind of a hidden treasure in Pittsburgh, and it has, you know, very special meaning, is that all the plants somehow relate to the Bible. And I've got videos there of the show that's up at Phipps right now, Under the Sea. I've looked at some this video, this little girl, 8 years old, and I was planting a garden in this place called Orchard Park in Duquesne, an underserved community. And the things that she says about gardening, it was just amazing. So just go take a look through the videos. I think you'll enjoy them. There's lots of gardening tips on those videos. It's called In Doug's Garden, and it's sponsored by Davy Tree. And I'm having a lot of fun doing the show. It runs on Saturday mornings on KDK's streaming site online, but then I put them up on my YouTube channel, and that's where you can see them whenever you want to.
All right, let's go to Tom in the North Hills. Wants to talk squash. Tom, you're on KDK. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Last year, I planted some butternut squash, and I got lots of flowers, but no squash. And I figured it out that I had mainly male flowers. And I thought about, you know, pollinating it myself with a brush or something, but I never got around to it. This year, it seems like all I have are female flowers, and I noticed that at the end of the flower, there's something that looks like a mini squash. Now, does that mean that it's been pollinated, or does it still have to be pollinated?
No, it still needs to be pollinated. That little mini squash or cucumber or any other vine crop like that, that means that's how you tell it's the female flower. And so you're just going to have to wait until you get male and female opening at the same time, which is oftentimes in the morning. And so just keep an eye on the plant. Make sure that it's healthy. As long as it has what it needs as far as fertilizer is concerned, eventually this has to happen, that they both open at the same time. And you might not be getting pollination. That might be one of the issues too. And so to do it yourself, you wait until both those flowers, male and female, are open, and then you take a little paintbrush. Some people use a Q-tip, and you take pollen from the male flower and bring it over to the female flower.
It seems like I don't have any male flowers on the...
That's what you're going to have to wait for, and they usually come up in the morning. So just...
Yeah.
It has to happen. It has to happen. The plant is going to make both male and female flowers. That's what it does. And as long as, like I said, as long as it has the fertility that it needs,
yeah,
it's going to do it. You just have to wait for it.
Yeah. Well, the flower in one of them is dying back, it seems like. And it doesn't open again in the morning. Before it did, let's say for 4 or 5 days, it always opened in the morning.
Right. And if it doesn't get pollinated, it just dies off, and then that little squash is gone. Right.
Yeah, okay. So I just got to keep my fingers crossed.
I would give it a little bit of fertilizer. Just make sure you're making it happy, and it has to make both flowers. That's what they do. They you know, and be sure you're looking at it in the morning too, because that male flower can open quickly in the morning and then just kind of fade away by the afternoon sometimes.
Right. You were talking just a second ago about the different gardens around town,
mm-hmm.
and there's a church in the Strip that's on Liberty. It's a small, I always think of the Irish Catholic Church, and it has a really beautiful garden. It's about a block up from Holy's.
Oh, great. That's good.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I'm not sure. It just started, like, say, 3 or 4 years ago that they started really putting lots of stuff into it, and I would think pretty soon it's going to be at its height, you know, like August or so. But that was just a suggestion.
Oh, I appreciate that. That's great. Yeah. I always appreciate those tips. And good luck with that squash.
Right. Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right, 866-391-1020. 866-391-1020. We are open for business, taking calls up until the top of the hour. Summer Salads with Frank Dentisi and I coming up. So let me ask you about in the garden. We had you on the morning show the other day. What about the heat and maneuvering through the heat over the next couple of days? Go ahead.
Oh, it's just all about watering, like I talked about at the top of the show. Can't let things dry out. You know, and this is the time when in May you're like, oh, I love my containers. And then in July you're like, oh, I hate my containers. I have to water them all the time. But it's important. And this, like I said, this will be my morning job. And I've seen a lot of leaf curl on tomatoes, too, during heat stress. And that's just a genetic thing. Some tomatoes will curl up their leaves when it gets hot like this. I'm looking at the weather. I'm hoping we're going to get some rain from this hurricane when it comes north. I just hope, always when I hope for rain, it's not like a bad storm. But I do have a couple questions here from listeners. And David wants to know, what can you tell me about growing dahlias? Do you have to save the bulbs at the end of the season? So that's the thing about dahlias. You don't have to save that. It's not a bulb, it's a tuber. But you don't have to save it if you don't want to. You know, I've got lots of friends that are dahlia fanatics, and they save them every year, and I save them every year. But don't deny yourself the beauty of dahlias because you don't want to save the tuber. Just let it freeze out. And dahlias are just some of the most beautiful flowers, and they come into their own at the end of the season. And it's really nice as the kind of garden winds down a little bit. Dahlias are doing their thing. And a dahlia can be 6 inches tall, or it can be 6 feet tall. It can be the size of a quarter, the flower, or it can be the size of a dinner plate. And I'm doing a story for Mount Lebanon Magazine on their community garden. And so I was at the community garden the other day, and a double plot was all planted with dahlias. I think they called him Dahlia Dave. And when, you know, right now they're maybe a foot tall and no flowers on them. But like I said, in August and September and into October, they're going to be tall and filled with flowers. And at that garden, they're saying that he always cuts the flowers for them and gives them to them. It's really cool. And a friend of mine, she is obsessed with dahlias. She lives in Ross Township, and her garden is close to Rochester and 19. And it's right on the street. You can't miss it. And her whole front yard is filled with dahlias. And now she's growing them in these big fabric pots, which is a great idea. And I just, every year I go there and photograph those dahlias, because there's nothing like those flowers. They are just so beautiful and so stunning. And you can find dahlia plants at the nursery right now, and you could find the tubers on sale for sure. And it's just a wonderful thing to grow. There's some other tender bulbs too that I love growing. One is caladiums, and it's the same sort of thing. This is a shade-loving foliage plant. It's just beautiful colors on the leaves. They're heart-shaped leaves. And same thing. They've got, in this case, a bulb underneath that I'm always saving because I don't want to buy them year after year. But you don't have to. If you need a beautiful thriller in a container in the shade, caladiums are perfect. And then elephant ears are the same thing. Nice, tender bulb with a beautiful leaf for the container.
All right, so if you want to get in here, a gardening question for Doug, start dialing 866-391-1020. We'll come back, one more segment with Doug, and then Frank, then TC and I on the Coons Cooking Hour. Summer salads, the topic of conversation on KDKA. Okay, and Doug is going to actually be with me later today on the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday show because of his years as a photojournalist and memories of the mistake on the lake. You know, I miss Three Rivers, and I miss that place that I was only to one time up there in Cleveland. But as we alluded, we actually pre-recorded the interview, that there were so many similarities between Pittsburgh and Cleveland.
No doubt about it. That's what was so ironic, that they hated each other so much back in the day.
You're going to absolutely love that interview coming up later today. But right now, back to gardening. And here's Nancy wants to talk about what? Kennywood's garden? Go ahead, Nancy. You're on KDKA.
Hi, Rob. Hi, Doug. I wanted to tell you that the church that young man said is in the Strip District, that is probably St. Patrick's, and they have an absolutely gorgeous garden.
Oh, awesome. And for those of you who don't know, Nancy was a gardener at Kennywood, right?
Oh, and I loved it. Yes.
Oh, that's
so
wild.
I had interviewed Nancy for the show, The Gardens of Pennsylvania. Nancy and I have stayed friends over all those years. Talk about those gardens, Nancy. And so before I let you talk about what you did there, I was putting the show together, and there was a guy at the PG that started telling me, like, his mother would take them all to Kennywood and drop the kids off, and then she would spend the day at Kennywood with these beautiful gardens, and that's how I found out about it. But Nancy, talk a little bit about your experiences as a gardener at Kennywood.
Well, Bill Henninger said the most important thing for us to do was water. So first thing every morning, we watered. Then we weeded, and occasionally, as years went on, I got to reconstruct gardens where certain things had died during the summer. And then I did a whole lot of transplanting of hostas that were way, way overgrown. You couldn't tell where one started and the other ended. So I put a long string of 15 of them beside the merry-go-round. And everywhere in the park, we pulled weeds. I trimmed trees with low-hanging branches. It just went on and on. If I had a dollar for every thistle I pulled, I would take a round the world trip.
And tell me about those linden trees that are in the park.
Oh, well, they have, as one of our young men said, a very pungent smell. And they're all around the merry-go-round garden, all around the edge. And it takes a half a day on two different days to weed that garden. And I would be nauseated from the smell of those trees by the end of it. And people would be saying, what is that beautiful scent? But it's not very pretty if you have to keep smelling it.
Nancy, what was it about working there that you loved so much? Because it was really hard work. I remember when I came to see you there at Kennywood, that you were working hard all day long.
Well, I used to be a teacher. You work hard when you're a teacher. You get used to it. But I just loved gardening. And Kennywood in those days was spending tremendous amounts on their gardens, and they were just so gorgeous. It was just a pleasure to be in them every day.
And Bill told me a funny story. You know, his family ran the park for so many years, and when he first came to the park in 67, he had his scuba certification, and they had a leak somewhere in that pool. And they sent him in there, sent him in there to try and find the leak. He couldn't find it. They couldn't find it. They sent him back in. He couldn't find it. Later on, they found that it was down in the pipe somewhere away, you know, when it would drain out of the park. So what were some of, what were some of the other things that you did there at Kennywood as far as the garden was concerned? And there was I forget how many gardens. There are a lot of, you know, if you count all those containers and everything, there was a lot to do.
Well, I was in charge of 6 gardens and various containers, and there were 4 of us, so I guess that would be 24 gardens that we had. And it's just constant, you know, just taking care of it. But if you love it, it's worth it.
And did you ever sit back and watch the people enjoy your handiwork?
No, not really. But when Bill moved me down toward the front of the park from Los Kennywood, he said, now people will be asking you the names of the flowers. But I was near the entrance, and the main thing they said is, where's the nearest restroom?
Oh, Nancy, it's such a joy to talk to you. I'm so glad you called. The last time we saw each other, Nancy came to the Home and Garden Show, and I surprised her by bringing her up on stage to tell these stories, because they're just wonderful stories about Kennywood and those gardens. And I haven't been to Kennywood in quite a while, but when you were doing those gardens, Nancy, it was spectacular. And I don't even know how you can see that show anymore. Maybe if you search online, you can see it. I made a documentary called Gardens of Pennsylvania, and Nancy's in there. We interviewed Nancy. She was reluctant. Weren't you reluctant to be interviewed by me?
Yeah, sort of.
But then we became...
But it was a pleasure working with you.
We became friends. And again, just such a joy to talk to you. Thanks for calling in, and thanks for telling me about that church. I'm going to have to check that out. And if you know of any other nice gardens, Nancy, you let me know, okay?
Yeah, that's a very famous old church. If you check it out on the internet, you'll find a lot of good information.
All right. Thanks again. Thanks for calling in.
That was a nice treat.
That was a wonderful treat.
Absolutely. All right. Now, this is where you basically exit stage left, so do what you need to do.
Do I just say goodbye, or do I...
I'm going to give you like a minute to do what you do.
Well, get out there, get some watering. I would love for you to go to the website and look at the videos. I'm having so much fun making these videos. It's a 15-minute show and exploring all these different gardens. And, you know, next year, next season, St. Patrick's might be on the list, and maybe I should go back to Kennywood. Do they still have great gardens? Because when Bill and Nancy were doing it, those gardens were just wonderful. And as I said, boy, I just enjoyed my time there. So I am answering some questions after the show at DougOster.com. And remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
All right, Doug, good stuff. Stay tuned. News at 8 with Rob Taylor. Then some summer salads, the topic of conversation with Frank Dentisi on the Coons Cooking Hour with your Pratt Pack on KDKA.